I would dare say all of us know the story. It's not like the first time we have heard the story. Even if people don't go to church, they know the story of the prodigal son. The other day I was in Manhattan, saw a flyer. They're doing a play on Broadway, The Prodigal Son. So people know the story. It's in the culture. And so Jesus tells the story because the Pharisees and the scribes were complaining. They were grumbling against Jesus. And what was the issue? Well, this particular issue was that he was hanging out with sinners, tax collectors, people that Jews normally didn't associate with. I remember when I was like 7 or 8, my mom and dad, especially my mom, she was so concerned about the people that I hung out with. I remember her saying things like, birds of a feather flock together, you lie down with dogs, you'll get fleas. And like, mom, I want to play with this kid, you know? But this was her mentality. And this was the Pharisees' mentality. And it is true even today. I mean, Jewish people normally don't eat with Gentiles. They don't associate. There's a separation between the classes. If you go to India, there's separation of the different classes. And we have it in culture. But especially in the mindset of a Pharisee. A Pharisee is a person who is separate. That's why they're called holy. Pharisee is a separate one. So if you're going to be separate, you're not going to hang out with women, no offense women, you're not going to hang out with people that are tax collectors, that are traders. I remember one time being in Israel, we were in Galilee, and there was a few of us, a couple guys and a couple women, and as we're walking towards the lake, we meet a bunch of Jewish guys praying and talking and studying. All of a sudden, when the women came, they got up and they left. No offense, but this is the mindset. Separation. It's still that way today in many places in people's minds. So Jesus tells a story because it's hard to get your point across by just telling somebody what you think because people resist it. And when people resist it, they don't listen. So what Jesus does is he tells a story because a story has a way of sinking down into the conscious and subconscious. And then finally they realize, hey, he's talking about me. Ha, he's talking about me. So he tells a story. We all know the story. Father has 2 sons. The younger son says, Dad, give me the inheritance. Give me everything. This would be equal with saying to your dad, I wish you were dead, really. This is really what the young guy was saying to the father. I wish you were dead. And so this was scandalous. But the father is merciful. He gives him the property. He lets him run east looking for a sunset. He goes out into the world looking for pleasure, looking for freedom, looking for happiness, but he hits bottom, as they say in AA. This is a man that is looking to live life fully, but he finds out that it doesn't work out. In fact, this is devastating, especially for a Jewish person, to be hanging out with pigs, feeding pigs, and almost wishing that you were eating what the pigs were eating. This man definitely hits bottom. But I don't want to talk about the prodigal son today. In fact, if you're going to be here a week from Wednesday, the gospel for that night is the prodigal son, and we'll talk and have a devotion, a meditation on the prodigal son. Today, I'd like to talk about the older brother. Because when you think about the prodigal son, most people, they don't even think about the older son because the focus and the emphasis is on the younger man, who goes away, squanders everything he has, changes his mind, repents, and comes back. But what about the older son? I mean, think about it. Jesus is telling the story to the Pharisees and the scribes, and in telling the story, he's getting them to think that they are the older brother. In a very subtle way, they are the older brother. Now, I'm taking a risk here because this parable really does not apply today. Because we really don't have Pharisees and scribes anymore, especially in the church. But if we did, this would apply. But it doesn't apply. But rather than focusing on the younger son, which we all know and we probably won't listen to because it'll go one ear and out the other, let's focus on the older son. So what happens? Well, the younger son comes back. He's received by the father, not by a hired hand or as a hired hand, I should say, but as a son. Gives him a new robe, puts a ring on his finger, sacrifices the calf, there's a party, there's celebration. It's a great ending. But it's not the ending of the story. In fact, the story is a cliffhanger. The older son is far away. Now, that is subtle. I don't know if Luke's doing this on purpose, but he's far away in the field, the older son, that is. And he hears the commotion, and he hears the noise, and he hears the partying. And as a good Lutheran, he says, what does this mean? What does this mean? What is this mean? And he doesn't know, so he has to ask someone. And someone says, oh, your son, the younger son, he went away, squandered all of the wealth, he has come back, and your father has received him, and there's a great celebration. Now, you would think that the older son would be happy, but he's not. There are three things that he does, and there's three ways that he acts. Number one, he is angry. He's angry. He's not happy. He's far away in the fields. He hears the good news, but rather than rejoicing, he's angry. And out of his anger, he refuses to go in. That's the first thing he doesn't do, or the first thing he does do. He remains outside. Doesn't look good for this guy. The second thing he does is he justifies himself. He says, listen, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, I've been faithful, I've done all of this, you've never done this for me. And so he's justifying himself. And then the last thing he does is he condemns the other person, or maybe criticizes the other person. He puts the other person down. Now, this parable, the older son, I guess the reason why we don't hear it that much in church and we focus on the younger son is because this really doesn't apply to us today, because we don't have Pharisees, we don't have scribes, and it doesn't really apply to us today. However, if it did apply to us today, I would ask you, do you know anyone like this? Have you ever come across anyone in 20 years or 30 years or 10 years or 5 years that something happened? And first of all, their reaction is they're angry. And the second reaction, because of the anger, they don't go in. They're like, I'm not going there anymore. Maybe a pastor made them upset. Maybe a layperson made them upset. Maybe something was decided and they're like, that's it, I'm done. And they get angry. Now, of course, this doesn't apply today because we don't have Pharisees and scribes, but if it did apply today, we might want to think about that. Then the second reaction is they begin to justify themselves because they have to. They have to say, well, wait a minute, I've done this, I've done that, I've been faithful, I've done this, and this is not right, this shouldn't be happening. And this is exactly what the older son was doing. Do you know anybody like that, or have you ever come across anyone like that? My own family. My brother hasn't been in church since the 60s. My sister maybe the 70s, you know? And my family was very, very religious. Church every Sunday. My mother was very spiritual. My father as well. But we probably can relate, can't we, to people. Something has happened, whatever it might be. They complain, they grumble, they don't like a certain thing, just like the older son. And they get angry, they refuse to come in, they justify their own actions because they have to. They have to justify their own actions because of their own ego. They have to. And then the third thing is they condemn the other person. In this case, it was a brother. Now, this parable does not apply to us today because there are no Pharisees and scribes, but if it was to apply to us today, maybe we could think of someone or we could think of a group of people. Here at Trinity, the roster is over 1,000. Well, I think it's 1,500. Where are those people? I don't know. Maybe some of them moved on, some of them gone to heaven, or some of them, maybe just a small percentage. I don't know. Maybe, just maybe, they've decided to stay away for whatever their reason. And I'm sure they have a reason or an excuse. And really, the truth is, any excuse will do. Any. Here's the good news. His mercy is new every morning. We prayed it in the colic this morning. His mercy is new every morning. And the worst thing that we could do as first sons, as sinners, is to condemn the older brother. That's the worst thing that we could do. To say, look how bad they are, because we're in the same soup. See, there's only one prodigal son. It's the younger guy. But both of the sons are lost. Did you ever think about it that way? Both of the sons are lost. The younger son, we know he's lost. We see how crazy he lives his life. You know, if you're going to be lost, you might as well do something dramatic like that. Then you can make your entrance back and be a hero. But the older son is lost just as much. He just doesn't know it. He doesn't know he's lost. He's justified in his anger, he's justified in his behavior, and he's justified by condemning other people. And he stays away. But God's mercy is new every morning, and this is what we pray. And if there's still life and there's still breath, then there's still hope, because the Father is still merciful. This is the good news. And we should never judge the older brother, because we're the younger brother. We have all sinned, all of us. Both sons are lost. We're in the same soup, folks. We can't point a finger, because when we do, we can't. Paul says in the epistle this morning, he says, if any man be in Christ, that is women as well, if any man or woman is in Christ, he's a new creation. What is he saying? He's saying there's no division anymore. There's no such thing as Pharisee and scribe and Gentile and prostitute and sinner, woman, men, it's all the same. We're all created new. The good news is that it doesn't matter if you're a Gentile who is far away, you've been brought near to the blood of Christ. And it's interesting because any catechumen who would hear this gospel this morning, who would be training to be baptized during the Easter Vigil, would say, there was a sacrifice involved. That sacrifice is Christ. Happened on Calvary 2,000 years ago, and this is the Father's mercy. And this is the celebration, the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, the sacrifice of our salvation in the Eucharist. And all are invited. Both the younger son and the older son. His mercies are new every morning. And we should never point a finger past each other and say, look what he's done. He's the older son. Oh, look what the younger son has done. Paul says in the epistle this morning, I beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled. Be reconciled. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, not only for God and us, but also for each other, I believe, as well. To be reconciled in Christ, forgiving each other as Christ has forgiven us, having mercy on each other as Christ has had mercy on us. But it's not just the ministerial role or the deacon role. It's really all of our roles. Every single one of us who have been baptized into Christ has the responsibility to reach out to the older brother, to reach out to the person who has wandered, who has reached out to the person who is still maybe angry, justifying themselves. And just let them know in any way we can that God loves them. This is the message of Lent, that we have sinned, all of us, and that God loves us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to confess our faith in the words of the Creed.